Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. I know it's been a couple of days, and I apologize for that. But I'm very, very excited about today's show. I've got a lot of notes and a lot of stuff that I want to get through. It's going to be the pros and cons of the 49ers draft class as we dive in. We have now a more complete view of the roster. And, you know, I think that there is a lot of telling information that we can derive from there. But the goods and the bads, always trying to balance the amount of information we put out, but like there's an opportunity cost to every decision made. And there are some negative consequences of that. And, you know, a lot of that has reared its ugly head in the national kind of conversation of consensus boards and reaches and all that stuff. And so like that's going to play a factor. But man, there's so many positives with this draft class. And as we're pouring through the draft tape and going through, you know, what these players can offer at the NFL level, there are a lot of positives, and I really, really hate that, like, you know, in these sports debates, it turns into a, yeah, well, this sucks, or yeah, well, you know, this is awesome. And again, it's always, you know, the trial of the bootlicker versus the clickbait, and, you know, don't want to be on either end of the spectrum. It's a horseshoe. It really, really is. But like, you just allow independent thought and rational understanding to take place whenever you're analyzing these picks and you're analyzing the roster. Like every single player, all eight draft picks for the 49ers are not all busts. They're not all reaches. That narrative does not apply to everybody. And likewise, they're not all Hall of Famers. They're not all pros. It's neither this nor that. It's always, you know, in between. And so it's funny because I'll make a comment on social media, usually Twitter. That's where I'm most active. But we've got Facebook, you know, Instagram, TikTok, all those different things. And it doesn't matter what I say because the opposite side's going to be upset. If I ever put out anything that's not even really critical, just an observation that might be deemed critical because of what other people are saying, people get so mad. And if I put something out there that's kind of supportive of a draft pick or a player, like people get so mad on the, like, and I hate that it does that. So I do apologize, but today's episode, this is episode 1640 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, the pros and cons of the 49ers draft class. And I want you guys in the chat, like drop in, put pro dash, what is something you really like about this draft class? Or if you're the opposite and you're really, really upset, put con dash, and then list what is negative. And let's fight through these in a way that is constructive. And the goal today is to walk away and be like, oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm hoping we address a little bit for everybody. And I'm hoping a little bit is addressed for myself as well in the fact that you walk away with a little bit different vantage point from where you came in. Imagine that, being presented new information and changing or adapting or molding your idea in a different light. I know that's not what we do. That's not a human response in today's climate, but hey, maybe it can be. So, and also just from a side personal note, man, a big reason why I haven't had shows is just we've had some family major issues come up. Everybody is, you know, okay health-wise, but I will be out of town for a few days. So I haven't gotten all the breakdowns done that I wanted to this week, sadly, because sometimes stuff comes up unannounced, and that's kind of what's happened to our family. But I did put the Grayson Halton video up, so we've got Kalen Black. You know, we've got Romello Heights. We've got Stribling. Next week, whenever I get back, sadly won't be getting back till Wednesday late. Next weekend, Thursday on, I'm hoping that these situations are resolved and I could just go back to my full-time job and do what is right. So I do apologize, and I'm very, very apologetic for that. Not because of what happened family-wise, but because of what's happened. Like, I hate that it sometimes stops what I'm supposed to be doing as my job, my career. And that is to inform and to put all this stuff out there. So apologies there, but please grant some grace, and we will going to get everything. We got plenty of time now. So, like, you're going to get everything that you want out there. I guarantee you that. Look at this, my man, Kim, bro. Best of the best. Thanks for the super chat. A pro of this day is catching a live show, being in the community. A con, I'm not married to Cindy Crawford. Oh, man, I remember those Pepsi commercials. I was a big Cindy Crawford fan. Yeah, we all were, right? It's just what it was. Kathy Ireland was more my taste, if I'm going to be honest. I didn't know my wife yet, so that's definitely not mental cheating. She can't be upset at that. But, yeah, Kimbrough, I appreciate you so much, man. You are the best of the best. And right here, man, let's get started. Label up. Says, John, hey, chat. The more talking heads that hate our draft, the more I love it. They are always wrong, so why would I trust them now? I mean, the 49ers are a lot of things. The 49ers telling the media what they're going to do is not one of them. And Mac Jones at 3, whether that should have been the pick or not, doesn't matter. The trade for Trent Williams, nobody knew. Joe Staley retiring, nobody knew. Brandon, you remember the media say Brandon Ayuk's going to be ready week 1 last year? Yeah, there's a chance he's going to be ready and out there playing week 1. Dude never even talked to them ever again that offseason. But, you know, the puppets and the talking heads do what they do sometimes. It just, talk about a swing and a miss, man. You remember, Brandon Ayuk will be ready week 1. And that was from one of the most prominent pro 49ers platforms out there. No names. But, like, now you got his agent releasing him. And what, like, good Lord. Nobody knew about the Osa trade. Nobody knew about Deshaun Stribling. Nobody knew about Caleb Black. Caleb Lohm was a 49er, right? Wrong. Like, that is one of my favorite things. And if you go back to Kyle Shanahan hiring John Lynch, now that understand that statement. Kyle Shanahan hiring John Lynch, if you go back to that, Shanahan appointed GM with no general manager front office experience at all. Obviously, Hall of Fame career player. But he told him, I want to hire you. But he even gave him a test. You remember this? Because the 49ers used to leak everything. And he said, we're going to wait 3 days to announce, 3 or 4 days, and to announce you as the GM. If there is one rumor out there or leak or whatever that we're considering this, deal's off. So Kyle Shanahan values secrecy. You don't say anything, you lose this job, right? And so again, if you want to know who makes the decisions, we're going to talk about this a little later. It is start, middle, and end with Kyle Shanahan. All decisions, all major decisions. It's start, middle, end Kyle Shanahan. He has the most authority, power, however you want to say, of any head coach in the NFL currently. It's not close. It's not close. It's not even close to close, 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 not close. It's Kyle Shanahan, giant tier gap, for better or worse, till death do us part. That's why we're faithful. yeah, some people didn't like that one. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Man, I love this monkey boy. Sean, what's up in the chat? What's going on, man? It's very, very good to be with you guys. Thank you, DeBrown Stoic. Always appreciate your compliments, man. You are the man. What's up, Yatsik? My man, Austin Maria Red. I love this. Right here, looking forward to listening to a balanced and still passionate analysis poster. Man, hopefully the passion comes across. These guys, it's so easy to just, like, you turn on highlights, you like players. It's that simple. And Kyle Shanahan even noticed this. And, you know, probably if I could give you homework assignment, the teacher and me sometimes can't get away for that. Go listen to the entire unabridged interview of Kyle Shanahan on the Rich Eisen show. You can watch it on YouTube. That's where I did 18-minute interview. You're going to learn more from that 18-minute interview than you will watch the past 5 years post-draft press conferences with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. You'll learn more in that 18 minutes. And, you know, I'm going to wait. I don't want to dive into the negative first. I can't do that. I can't do that. Appreciate you guys. Let's go. Man, Rusty. I know my man Rusty. He's driving right now. We talked earlier. Me and Jeff hitting the grapevine right now. Man, appreciate you guys. Y'all be safe on your way down there. Love you guys, man. Y'all are the best of the best of the best. Are we including undrafted free agents or just those that were drafted? Yeah, the undrafted free agents matter. And I love the fact that they spent some. You look at the defensive tackle, which you got your three best undrafted free agents. And again, I'm biased. I think there's four that I'm just like, ooh. I really, really like these guys. Bryson Eason, Jalen Thompson, those two, Mikhail Kamara, and then Stroman. Those are the four that I know the most about, right? Well, I know the most about the punter from Texas, but whatever. And I'm very thankful that you didn't spend a draft pick. That's a huge positive. But, man, you spent $280,000 on defensive tackle James Thompson. That defensive tackle room is stacked with youth. Two young draft picks last year, and Alfred Collins and CJ West both showed why you drafted them. They still got to develop and grow into that. Oso Odighizuwa is 28. You traded that. That was awesome. You go get Grayson Halton, everybody's kind of favorite pick value-wise and scheme fit. You got Evan Anderson. You got Sebastian Valdez, the Hulk that everybody fell in love with last year in training camp. And then you add two more young bucks with incredible promise and Bryson Eason and James Thompson. Like, good gosh, the youth and upside in that room is just, oh, man, it's tasty. It's tasty. So, yeah, undrafted free agents, definitely a part of that. And again, y'all got to help me with this. It's priority free agents. That is the term we are trying to not adopt, but trying to use as much as possible. Priority free agents over undrafted. I learned this from my interviews last year with a lot of the 49ers rookies. They don't like that. And I get it. It's starting with the undrafted. No, priority free agents got a better spin to it. And man, why not spin it in a positive light? These guys are living their dream and getting paid to play professional football. I love it. I just absolutely love it. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's 4 of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Yacek, my man. Why would a team draft a position when they already are stacked at that position. That's best player available. So, like, I don't know if you guys used to watch the Chappelle Show. If you did it, you should. And if you haven't, you should go watch it right now because it's that damn good. Some of the best television ever made. Definitely shaped my college, whatever. Everybody came to my apartment to watch Chappelle Show. We would have 20 plus dudes in there laughing their ass off. I think it was Thursdays. I could be wrong on the date that it would come out every time. But anyway, one of my favorite skits was when Keeping It Real goes wrong. And it was skit comedy like Key and Peele for you youngsters, way before Key and Peele paved the pathway. But and they just did all these different situations where somebody Keeping It Real and it just goes terribly wrong. Best player available has major negative connotations to it. And you look at the Arizona Cardinals. You don't have to look. Well, the best player available is Jordan Love. We're going to take Jordan Love. He's the best player available. BPA. BPA has value and has a lot of merit to it. Like you don't know what to do, man. Just go with the best player available. Find him out. That is what Howie does, as long as it's a premium position earlier. But, you know, once you get to the third round, Howie Roseman, best player available, that's it. And he uses the term, if we don't see this guy as a future starter, we're not taking him. We're not filling holes. As soon as we start to fill needs, we've missed the boat and we've missed the process. That's Howie Roseman's approach. That's not the 49ers approach ever. Now, the flip side of that is best player available. You look at the Cardinals taking Jordan Love, number 3 overall. It is stupid. That's stupid, man. That's so stupid. The best position group on the entire Cardinals roster, hey, I've looked through it, was running back going into the draft. It was the one position group where they had adequate depth. They had quality starters, whatever. They had it all. And it's the second least valuable position in the NFL. And then they spent the number 3 pick on their strongest position group, neglecting defense, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, you name it. Jordan Love's awesome. Jeremiah Love, sorry, is amazing. He's an incredible prospect. Awesome. No doubt about that. But that ain't how you build a team. You're going to watch this team that is tanking have 3 of their best players on the sideline. 3 of their best players on their team on the sidelines consistently just because they went BPA. So why do teams do this? Lack of foresight. Like, I don't know. And I understand they're smarter than me. I get that. That's a low bar. Every single person watching this is smarter than me. That's a dumbass decision. And so you can't always do that. You have to take in salary cap, all that stuff, and you're choosing to rebuild a bottomed-out roster in the best division in the NFL with a running back? Insanity, man. Insanity. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I get, especially in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round, man, let's just take the best player available that we like here, even if it's a position we already have. I get that. Number 3 overall on a rebuilding team, are you a Jeremiah Love away from competing? You are not. You are not 4 Jeremiah Loves away. You need premium position help, and your defense is not great. They're tanking. What's up? Rusty says, I need to be angry, John. Stop apologizing. I can't help it. Huge positive. Austin, appreciate you, Austin. He says, pro speed. I have the need. For speed. Yeah, one of my positives aligns with this one, Austin, from this draft class. Elite athleticism across the board. You talk about relative athletic scores. You talk about percentile at the combine, not black. Kalon Black, the only person not invited to the combine, went in the 3rd round, highest drafted in years. But all the other ones, elite, and even Kalon Black's not a bad athlete. Dude ran a 4.46. Like, he's got some speed to him. But yeah, elite athleticism speed. And this was one of the slowest rosters top to bottom last year, especially offensively. But whenever you have Juwan Jennings starting for you as an X, you know, one of the slowest wide receivers in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey's not what he used to be. adequate speed at best. Like you saw that was like missing. That was rough. There was a lot of that where it's just like, man, DeMarcus Robinson, you run jet. You remember when they ran a jet sweep with DeMarcus Robinson, like at this stage in his career? So you're replacing a lot of that. Stribling, crazy quick. Romello Height, crazy quick. Keelan Black, 4.4. Grayson Halton, speed, one of the highest bursts. I think he had the third best vertical for any defensive tackle prospect ever. Ephesian Prysock, corner, crazy fast. Jalen Duggar, speed. Like Enrique Cruz, one of the most athletic offensive tackle prospects ever. You got the fifth round. Like, yes, speed, 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 speed. That is huge. I would add to that experience. 49ers targeted heavily experienced players. There's negative to that. We'll talk about it in a second. We'll present them together. You drafted a bunch of old players. You have one of the oldest rosters in the NFL, and you have the oldest rookie class in the NFL. Yeah, you got eight guys. That's huge. That's a huge positive. Negative, man, Stribling, 23. Romello, 25. Kalen Black is 24, and he turns 25 in October. You drafted a rookie running back that is about to be 25. Shelf life for running backs is 27, 28. You're talking 2 years till he becomes a descending player? I don't know. Like, he's Neo, baby. And I'm going to keep saying that. Like, makes no sense to draft Kalen Black where you did. That's just my own personal opinion. It's okay how much you love him or don't love him. Neo, he's bucking the trend, man. He's bucking the trend. He's the chosen one. I'm excited about that. Grayson Halton, 22, not bad. Carver Willis, 24. Ephesian Prysock, 23. Duggar, 22. And Enrique Cruz, 23. So, like, you look just kind of across this draft class, man, it's old. And, yeah, a lot of them have played a lot of football and have a lot of experience. I love that. I love that. I love that. But, yeah, that's an issue. I mean, shoot, Trey Lance, who was drafted several years ago, is the same age as two of our rookies. Like, you can't even make that up. Like, this is an old draft class. Now, part of that's NIL, just the effects COVID and NIL have had on so much of the roster or the talent that gets to the NFL. It's going to be older drafts now because they're getting paid to stay. That's not a bad thing. Drafting a running back at 25, that's weird, man. But that's all right. That's all right. Right here, Monkey Boy Pro. The Kalen Black breakdown you did made me hopeful about having someone who can move the chains in short yardage situations. Yeah, he's good at that. You go watch, let's just kind of sidestep and do a pro con of Kalen Black. Man, core strength, incredible. Runs through arm tackles, runs hard every single play, plays hard all the time. Like that, like you see, they used him for one thing. Every single time Kalen Black was in there, like I think the game we charted and did the film breakdown, it was like 10 of his 12 runs were the exact same run through the A-gap. Just zone read. Simple, right through the A-gap. Simple, simple, simple. Two of his runs were outside zone. That's all they used him for. They used him in the pass game because they had, you know, a much better mover receiving back. And Kurt Cignetti has coached Kalen Black his entire career, and he used him as a receiving back at James Madison for 1 year. But, like, Cignetti liked the other running back more. And so you're drafting the oldest running back, who didn't start, by the way. He wasn't a starter. Now you look at what he did in the pro or in the college football playoff. Incredible. Incredible. But he's a change of pace back. Is Kyle Shanahan going to take Christian McCaffrey off the field on 3rd and 2? We've seen running backs never get a play in the Shanahan scheme, and I hope that changes. I do have Jordan James considerably ahead as the RB2. But do you draft a 25-year-old running back that hasn't started even in college the majority of his career to now take Christian McCaffrey off the field? Or did you draft him a 25-year-old running back to sit and wait? Or is he just depth and break glass in case of an emergency if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt? I don't know. The tape isn't as bad. I still struggle seeing him more than a six-round value personally, but all right, let's go into this. I talked about watching that Kyle Shanahan, Rich Eisen, right here, Rich Eisen interview. I learned more from that than seriously so much of what I think Kyle Shanahan really looks up to Rich Eisen, and it was kind of cool to allow him to be so honest and forthright in that situation. Yahtzeik says, pro, we got another third round running back. Psyched. One of them has to hit eventually. And like I quote tweeted a video and people like totally did not understand what I was trying to say, but that's okay. Shanahan goes into his thing and is like, I don't start watching until February. And then you do two hard months and then you do the draft. And then he doesn't watch anymore until the following February. That's one issue. Number two, it is up to the position coaches to create highlight tapes to convince Shanahan to like a player or not. That's crazy. That's insanity. The scouts who have worked all year long, that's a scout job. And I said this in the past, like, man, I could not imagine being a scout for the 49ers because your job is meaningless. The coaches have more say-so for the 49ers organization than any other NFL franchise, and it's not close. You've heard coaches come in and out and talk about that, whether that's Robert Saleh being with us, leaving, then coming back, D'Amico Ryans. It doesn't matter. Like Sorensen, Gus Bradley, you've heard all of these guys talk about this. Steve Wilks. Man, coaches have a lot of say-so here. And they say that while they're with the 49ers. Like, what do the scouts do? They work all year on this. Only for, and probably my biggest takeaway watching the Shanahan interview with Rich Eisen was how many times he would say, I. It was like, do I like this? Man, I think this. I would hate this. And it was just like, dude, is there anybody else making a decision in that war room? Is there anybody else? And I know that there is, and I know John Lynch has to say so, and I know the position coaches have to say, I don't know if any of the scouts do. I think the scouts turn over like a report card on a player and then they're just iced out of the process. Again, that's my own personal take on it. I could be way, way off, and I'm sure I am. But like, I walked away from that just going, holy shit, man, Kyle Shanahan has more power and autonomy than I thought originally, which is saying so much. like, I don't know. I don't know. Oh my gosh, the biggest pro ever. Sorry, I'm behind in the chat. Steven, my man, JC. Also, want to update, let the faithful know I appreciate the love. I got the promotion in transition later this month. My man, if y'all don't know, Steven is a real one. He is an amazing human being. And yeah, he let us know that he had, you know, an interview for a promotion about a week ago, a little over a week ago, and he got it. I needed a win, Steven. I needed it. You are the man. I'm going to make it about me because I'm a selfish, you know, a-hole. But, dude, that is the greatest news ever. I'm so freaking pumped. I needed that. And, man, Steven, you're so proud, dude. Freaking incredible. That is what I'm talking about. So back to the Shanahan thing. I walked away just saying, golly, I think this guy has even more power than I thought. And he just talked about how, like, I wouldn't feel right if we didn't do this. And I don't want to say this. And I'm okay with it. And it was just like, man, there is not a collaborative effort. Because a lot of times when Kyle talks, he does use the inclusive, like, we, us, that stuff. And it was just like, man, talking about the draft, it was me, 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 I. And I was just like, good gosh, this dude, it's just crazy. Now, nuanced take, I'm taking it. Should Kyle Shanahan have all that power? No. God, no. But you wouldn't have got him if you didn't give it to him. You wouldn't have got him if you didn't give it to him. And so, like, you've got to do that. Butter said, did you see the comments that Shanahan starts draft prep in February by watching highlights? Yeah. And, like, I think that's normal for head coaches. It's not normal for head coaches that are general managers. I'm not saying he should be in the playoffs breaking down tape. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying highlights should be created by the scouts in the front office who are not coaching. And if the coaches are the ones that are doing that, they're coaching to their playoffs too. Like, it's a flawed process. Not that Shanahan doesn't start till February. And that's what everybody thought I was talking about. I was like, no. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking about coaches making highlight tapes to convince the head coach on who to pick. Where the hell are the scouts in this process? I don't have a problem with the coaches saying, I don't want this guy. I can't coach this guy. This isn't what I'm looking for. But like, dude, that's scouts front office personnel department. Like, what? I was just like, good gosh, that is crazy. Yeah, Kawachipto. Yes, scouts give the coaches reports. Players look at February. That's the same across every team. Yeah, same across every team. Coaches making highlight tapes, not the same across every team. That I'm not saying coaches shouldn't or whatever, but if the decision for which players to look at is made by the coaches, that's a flawed process. Not saying it should change. I wish it would, but you're not getting changed with the 49ers at all. Filthy casual. Forster needs to work on his highlight tape skills. Might draft higher around offensive linemen. Yeah, he's purposefully like fought against, who should draft O linemen and not. That's there. Appreciate you, San Mateo. Thank you so much. Maybe the scouts give their work to the position coaches. Yeah. So what would you say you do here? Do you take the reports from the customer and bring them to the engineers? No, but you do take the reports from the engineers to give them back to the customers. Well, no, yes, not exactly. I'm a people person. It's like the most like Office Space thing ever. For those of you who don't know, like one of the greatest clips. Like, so you take these to them. What would you say you do here? oh my gosh, just need to jump to conclusions, Matt. But like, I love this filthy casual. Yeah, I mean, obviously they're doing work. I'm not here saying scouts for the 49ers don't do work. That's not what I'm implying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying with the way Kyle Shanahan designed this process and described this process, it starts, it ends with coaches, and at no point were the scouts mentioned ever in his entire process. That is a legitimate thing. Tanisha, Kyle won't get out of his own way, which is the reason we can't win a Super Bowl, in my opinion. He's too stubborn. I love him as our coach, but he's got to learn to get out of his own way. Yeah, that I think that's a fair criticism, and I wish he didn't have as much. I'm not saying I don't want Kyle having – and that's another problem with social media. You make just a statement, and people are like, yeah, one of the greatest offensive minds in the NFL shouldn't have any say-so on his groceries and what he cooks with. Yeah, why would you let Kyle Shanahan decide on a wide receiver? That's stupid. He should have no, like, and they go so far to the extreme. That's not who we are, but that's what social media is. I'm not saying coaches shouldn't have say. I'm not saying they shouldn't be involved. I'm saying the process shouldn't start and end with somebody that starts the process in February. Probably shouldn't be the person that is making this decision. Like probably shouldn't. But that's okay. All right, here, Steve, a joke of the day. Just heard two Raider fans tell me the Raiders will finish with a better record than the Niners. That is a fun one. I love it, man. I love all the thing. Right here, Hugh is a total collaboration. He gets recommendations from his staff, watching highlights as a filter to see who should look further. Scouts feed names to the coaches. Coaches break down positions. Yeah, that's normal. That is normal. And again, just we're going off the way Kyle Shanahan has explained the process. And if the coaches are convincing Shanahan who to take, and then Shanahan decides that's a flawed process. I'm telling you right now, that's a flawed process. The scouts and the personnel departments need to be more involved. And that's why you get picks like Joe Williams, where Kyle Shanahan, where John Lynch didn't even have him on the board, right? Player completely removed from the board. Not even on the board. Undraftable because of all the offseason stuff. Undraftable. You go into the draft day one, day two, not on the board. Kyle Shanahan gets really upset, pounds the table. I'm not going to be able to sleep if we don't draft him. You trade up and you draft a player that wasn't on the board. wasn't even on there. That is a head coach saying, screw everything. I want this. That, like, the whole time I watched that interview, I was like, Joe Williams makes so much more sense now. Oh, and like, understand this. This con rant's going a little too far. I got to go to the other side positive soon. But like, I remember being at training camp that year with Joe Williams pushing players in front of him to get reps because he didn't want to get reps. Literally, he would wait for the Bobby Turner to turn around, the running back coach. It's just during warm-up drills. And every time Bobby Turner would turn around, he would do this and push Matt Breida up. And he'd push like the running backs. Like, he's watching. And then once Bobby Turner turned around, he'd jump back in line. How do you draft trade up for a running back that got zero carries for your team at the end of it? That's unheard of. It makes sense. Why? Because Kyle Shanahan pounded the table and said, screw everybody else. I want this. That is my issue, right? That's where I'm just like, ooh, that's major red flags here. Now, have they all been bad drafts? God, no. Last two drafts have been awesome. You don't have a Pro Bowl player or an All-Pro player in there, but you have so many contributors. And I think that's going to bear a lot of fruit moving forward. And I think that this draft could be good too. And like, a lot of people bring up the Stribling thing. I don't have a problem with Stribling. You traded back twice and you got a rush crush player. Yeah, I had him rated in the third round. But like, dude, I don't mind that. He's got elite traits. He's got experience. He's a scheme fit. Check, check, check. You traded back twice. How many times you got to trade back? Cool, cool, cool. Like, it's not like Stribling was a miss. And none of these guys are misses. That's not what it is at all. It's just a wonky process. It's different than everybody else. And it's operated by a position of hubris instead of analytics or like any of that. It's not. Yeah, analytics are involved. But like, you don't get Joe Williams. Like, the process is supposed to filter that out. It did not. Why? Because Kyle Shanahan is the process. And I'm not saying I want Kyle Shanahan gone. I don't. I keep it the same if it means Shanahan stays. I wish changes would be coming about. I really, really do. They're not going to. They're not going to. But I'm telling you where my thoughts are on this. And that's okay. Yeah, Matt, 49ers draft process is a joke. Player attrition rate will have another process, new staff. I don't think so. Kyle Shanahan, dude, last year was incredible. Yeah, right here, Kyle utilizing his coach's scouts, starting with highlights makes total sense. I don't mind Kyle starting with the highlights. My biggest problem is Kyle starting with highlights made by coaches. That's my thing. Rusty Pro, Niner fans in Melbourne. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Let's see here. I'm scrolling. I'm not going to be able to get to all these. I love y'all. I love these right here. 404 Stribling offensive rookie of the year, height defensive rookie of the year for the 49ers draft class. Yeah, that would seem to be the case. And I think that this is the positive and the negative. Okay. My positive, the 49ers roster has unreal depth. It would be hard pressed to find a team with more depth across the NFL. I really do believe the Niners might have the deepest roster in the NFL right now. And so like, I kind of like, and you know, with every pro comes a con, but like, you didn't trade away Mac Jones. You traded away D Winters, but like, let's just be honest, for those of you that watched our film breakdowns and stuff, that's not a negative. That's an addition by subtraction. I like D Winters, but the fact that he never developed his biggest flaw in his game at any point last year, it only got worse and worse and worse. It was just like, all right. And it's best for D to go because he wasn't going to play. He wasn't going to play. He wasn't going to play over Dre Greenlaw. Even if Dre Greenlaw got hurt, Nick Martin, I prefer Nick Martin and what I haven't seen to what I have seen with D Winters. But you look at the depth across, and I think there's only two positions that lack true depth, and that's tight end, but only because Kittle's injured and Luke Farrell's terrible. And safety. You got three young guys, so you could say, well, like, that's good depth. But, like, should have added a safety, should have added a tight end. And you really didn't even do that, you know, in the undrafted, you know, room either. Khalil Dinkins, all right, cool. And then Jalen Stroman from the safety position, actually liked him. I had him ranked higher than a couple of the Niners draft picks. So you did add through undrafted free agents, but tight end and safety, I would argue, are the least depth positions. And especially when you throw Kittle's injury into that, that's huge. Now, the flip side of this, not all these draft picks are going to stay on this team. They're just not. There's not room for all eight. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have drafted eight, because you don't know which eight. You got to get them in. You got to see how they play and all those things. But like, here's what I'm looking, you know, at this roster. You got to cut. You're going to have to cut one running back. Like, is that Isaac Garrido? Is that Sincere McCormick, Patrick Taylor? Like, big whoop. Like, you know, somebody's getting cut, and that's assuming nobody gets injured. Wide receiver, you're cutting three. Like, Junior Bergen, Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, Malik Turner, like, the two undrafted free agents, and Will Pauling, Wesley Grimes. Dude, a lot of these guys, maybe all those guys ain't making it. Like, that wide receiver room is stacked. You went from last year, and I said consistently, this wide receiver room sucks. It is one of the worst in the NFL. Brock Purdy's making it work. George Kittle's helping. Christian McCaffrey's helping. Kyle Shanahan's helping. But they're overachieving from a talent-based standpoint. Not this year. Mike Evans, Ricky Pearsall, Christian Kirk, Deshaun Stribling, Demarcus Robinson. Those guys are making the roster guaranteed 100%. And a lot of times the 49ers only keep five wide receivers. If that's your five, that's a badass five. You're probably going to have to find a way to keep six, whether that's Jordan Watkins being the six, Jacob Cowing being the six, yeah, like somebody. But, man, that is a badass five. You mean tell me Mike Evans, Ricky Pearsall, Christian Kirk, Sean Stribling, Demarcus Robinson? That is solid, bro. Now, we don't know what Stribling's going to do, but he ain't even starting. He ain't going to start. Not this year. Unless there's injuries. But yeah, keep going through the thing. Two to three offensive linemen have to be cut. Have to. You don't have room. You keep 7 to 8. You got 10 to 11. And so I like that. That's a good problem to have. But right now, like, man, Connor Colby, Austin Pleasance, Brett Toth, Carver Willis, Enrique Clues. Some of those guys are getting cut. Period. Period. Defensive tackle room's badass. We talked about that earlier. Can't keep them all. Can't keep them all. Got to cut one to two linebackers. Got to cut one to two corners. Like, and all this, like, the positive, man, you got eight draft picks. That's a huge pro. You turned six into eight. And one of my favorite things about the 49ers draft class this year, you're not going to be able to keep them all. And guess what? All these are fourth and fifth round. These aren't seventh round guys. If you cut a fifth-round prospect, he's getting claimed by a worse team, period. None of these guys you're keeping if you waive them. Now, the trick, which hasn't been investigated by the NFL yet, will one day, the Shanahan mystery injuries. Let's you keep a player for a year. Won't be shocked. You're going to need 4 to 5 Shanahan mystery injuries, and that's not even including the actual injuries that take place during training camp and preseason, which do happen. So you're going to have to get creative to keep some of these guys. That's going to be hard. That is going to be hard for sure. Now, I've got way too many pros and cons. I could be here all day. But if you go to any sporting event, concert, you name it, TickPick's the place to go. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, all right. One of my favorite pros by far. Love the investment in the trenches. I love that. 4 out of 8 of your draft picks were offensive defensive line. That's huge. Yeah, the two O-line picks are late. That's a Chris Forster special.
You look at if Max Ihonatour was there, maybe would have been different. But Caleb Bloomwoon, no. Like me and everybody was just kind of like, no. And maybe he turns out to be awesome and I'm happy for him because he seems like such a cool kid. I just didn't see the fit or the upside or the versatility to apply to this. But hey, yeah, a fourth and a fifth round offensive lineman, it's better than what they've been doing. The first offensive tackle taken in five consecutive drafts, that is huge, but you got something. You got a developmental high upside piece. Love that. Carver Willis, we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, defensive line, you're going Romello Height and Grayson Halton. That's awesome. Scheme fits, versatile. Awesome. I love that. So the investment in the trenches is huge. Just absolutely huge. Notorious Khan did not address our need at safety. They did not. That is a negative. And like, again, they don't care about safety. Running back, premium position to the 49ers. Safety, don't give a damn. A lot of what they did to address the safety position was in the coaching room, Jerry Gray. I think that they are hoping that's going to pay dividends, and I am as well. I really do hope that they do as well. Mark, what's up, man? Appreciate you, brother. Says, I was irritated about this draft, but after thinking about it, I understand the thinking behind it. Yeah, it's easy to be Kyle Shanahan and be like, okay, I get it. You needed a running back. This is a horrible running back class. You took Kalen Plackett. He even said, like, we had a fourth-round grade on him. We didn't want to have him. You didn't have anybody rated after him. You felt like you had to have him. And that, like, fear that, man, we have to. We're going to feel horrible if we don't get. That always gets him in trouble. I hope that changes. I really, really do. Con, casual fans going full brick. I don't know what we're yelling about. Yeah, that's there for sure. I love Lamp. Yeah, anger is important to a fan base. They're called fanatics, fans, right? That's where it comes from. And yeah, I dip into it more than I would like, especially after a loss and a post game show. And I say those curse words, and you guys always like it whenever I do that for some reason, but I love you guys. People are going to be upset, and people are going to feed off that. And I understand that concept, but it's like, man, this team is really, really good. So when you step back and you look at the forest, it's like, damn, there are a lot of really good roster here. Maybe it could have been better. And yeah, for sure there's going to be better picks than, you know, Stribling or Romello or Black whenever it's all said and done. But like, if these guys do fit what the Niners want, and again, you know, Stribling was a 10 out of 10 fit scale. Romello was an 8 out of 10 fit scale. Grayson Halton was a 9 out of 10 fit scale. You got guys that were easy to identify as, man, this is a 49ers player. Some of the other ones, yeah, but like you take those. Shanahan's going to have one of these picks every single year, whether it's Joe Williams, Ty Davis Price, Trey Sermon, drafted a fucking kicker or a punter or Cameron Latu, or like there's going to be one every single year. You just got to shrug your shoulders and just say, yep, let's focus on the other guys. Maybe one time these surprises will surprise us in a positive way. We haven't seen that too much yet, but maybe it will. Maybe it will. Yeah, right here, Cal Chipto. Shout out, man. Their investment at safety is Gray and Morris. They will get a vet as well. I do think that they will add a vet, but we'll probably wait, allow these young pups to get reps all through training camp, OTAs, all that stuff, maybe even into the preseason. Then you sign, you know, a veteran safety. They've done it three times since Shanahan showed up. They do not care. They do not care about safety position. They just don't. I you cannot convince me otherwise. Never spent above a third. You had Hufanga was an all-pro. You let him walk, has another all-pro season. You had the answer. You chose not to pay the answer, which that's fine. But like, if it was, you would have kept it. Do with that what you will. Positive. One thing that I haven't heard talked about a lot, long-term, Stribling and Pearsall are a perfect pair. They really, really are. Stribling is a quintessential X, tall, strong, mean, you know, release package is decent, even though you didn't see it a lot at Ole Miss. Blazing speed, 4.3, had two of the fastest times for any wide receiver in all of college football GPS-wise. Like, burner, burner, burner that can take the top off. Spearsaw, horizontal separation, right? Shifty, shifty, all that kind of stuff. Like, Mike Evans, and I hope Mike Evans plays 3 years with the 49ers, but you have to look at that deal like a 1 or 2 year deal. You have immediate wide receiver depth now. Kirk, 1 year deal. Mike Evans, 2 year deal, kind of tops. Long term, Stribling and Pearsall, like, you've got your X and your Z. And the 49ers do a bunch of 12 and 21. So a lot of times you just need two guys out there. Your two are there. And I like that long term. Like, one of my favorite things is just, man, Stribling and Pearsall is a quality tandem X and Z together. I freaking love that, man. I really, really do. Now, and this was talked about earlier, but I do want to put no starters. You didn't draft one starter this year. Doesn't mean a player won't start. No player here was drafted to start. Nobody. Stribling, not starting this year. He's like week one. Some guys you draft that early and it's like, yeah, this dude's a starter. But it's a testament to the 49ers approach in free agency. Last year in free agency, you didn't sign one starter. Not one starter in 2025 free agent class. Not one. Well, you had 5 to 6 rookies starting week one because you never addressed it in free agency. This year, you added 5 starters in free agency. 5. You include that Osa trade. So guess what? Those same 5 to 6 rookies that started last year, they're not going to be starting this year. Yeah, they would not. The rookies that started last year will maintain some of their starting jobs, but I'm saying, like, even with that draft class last year, would not have started this year because you address the holes in the depth, and that permeates this roster top to bottom because your depth is now rookie depth instead of starter rookies. You have veteran depth, veteran starters with rookie depth behind, and I like that. Right here, Hart will be a, you know, height will be a starter eventually. He's going to be a situational pass rusher. I don't see. All right, first play of the game, defense, 1st and 10. Defense trots out there. Romello Height in there starting opposite Bosa. I don't see that. I think he's, and maybe you see the 3rd down pass rush specialist as a starter. I'm cool with that. You see the fullback as a starter. I'm cool with that. You see the nickel as a starter. I'm cool with that. Like, yeah. There's only 11 players out there, but you kind of have 12 to 13 starters per side. Yeah, I think that that's there. I'm cool with that. I really, really am. Right here, Jess, pro, ended with more picks than we started the draft with. Con, some of those picks could have been taken much later in the draft. Example, Black, yeah. But you got 8 guys. You had about 15 spots to fill with priority free agents and draft picks. You went from 6 to 8, and that's huge. And you got a pick next year, which you don't have a 6th rounder next year because of the trade that you made. And so now you get that pick back, and that's huge. I think that was a Sky Moore trade. So the 49ers currently slated to get 7 picks next year. No comp picks. You know, Juwan Jennings doesn't even enter into the compensation pick formula anymore because it's post-draft. So even if he signed for $20 million like he said he was going, you know, dude, just – I hate for Juwan Jennings how much money he ruined for himself and his agent. His agent just gave him terrible advice and just completely misread his market, and it affected the 49ers in a negative way because now they're not getting a comp pick. It affected Juwan Jennings because he lost out on so much money, and his agent, like, nobody won. Nobody won in that thing. He was convinced he was a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. And it's like, everybody just shrugged their shoulders and like, dude, you're a 4.7 wide receiver that has drop problems. Come on, man. Like, hey, I like Juwan Jennings, but it's just like, I hate that that dude's still not on a team. And it does, like, we're a Niners show. We're not a Juwan Jennings show. It affected the 49ers. They should have got a comp pick. They should have got a 4th to 5th round comp pick. But they were convinced he was a $20 million wide receiver when he was not. I think that's a killer, man. And I hate that. I do hate that. 8 picks in 2027. They don't have a 7th, or they didn't have a 6th. They traded that one, and then they traded back and got that. So my count, which I am always wrong. But I think that they're at 7 now. But that's where our Cam's at. What's up, man? So glad the draft is over and we can settle in. Yeah, it is time to start the 90 person countdown, which we're going to do differently this year. For the past 6 years, we've done one episode per player. Can't do that this year. It's a crazy year for me this offseason. One, we're about to move. My oldest son's graduated. He's moving to Texas. Going to become a firefighter. Super pumped for him. 20th anniversary. We're going on a trip together for like a week plus. The wife and I, which is awesome. So it's we're moving. So like, it's just a lot of stuff. So we're still going to do the 90 man roster countdown, but it's going to be kind of an abridged version where we do like 5 players in one episode, to kind of combine that. So be a little bit more brief, but I don't think anybody else is doing it. And I don't want to give up on that. So anyway, do with that with what you will. Rusty right here. Who are going to be the return guys? That's a great question. There's going to be a competition. So your kickoff return could be Kalen Black and Jordan James. I'd be cool with that. You could put Deshaun Stribling back there. I'm trying to look through who else I really like. That's about Jordan Watkins you could put back there for sure. Junior Bergen, I don't think he's making this roster. I don't see that. And then punt returner, I would like Jacob Cowing or Jordan Watkins to win that role. I really would. Ricky Pearsall, you can put back there too. Now that you have wide receiver depth, I know people are like, no, don't put Pearsall back there. Let him stay healthy. But like, yeah, it's rough. I like Watkins on punt return. I do. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. They're a huge competition. Special teams is always the, I don't know, equilibrium to like, man, you want to make this roster and you're going on special teams. You're safe. You're safe. And special teams was good last year. Can it continue? Sky Moore was great last year. And we got so lucky. His, you know, not the highest player IQ, made so many dumb choices that just didn't kill the Niners. Can you get that? So, like, we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. But I got to wrap this show up. You guys are incredible. Have to say thank you to our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George, 365 Corey Robbins. Love you guys. I have to go out of town. We will have our first show probably going to be Thursday. So, man, I'm taking kind of like 6 days off, but it's not truly off, but whatever. Love you guys. So sorry about that. And again, go check us out on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. We got video breakdowns of Stribling, Romello Height, Kalen Black, Grayson Halton. And next week, whenever I get back, we'll finish out the draft class and get to the UDFAs. That's where that's going to be. But love you guys. Appreciate y'all. And apologies about not as much content out this past week. We'll be back to regular scheduled programming very, very shortly. But you guys are awesome. Pro, everybody watching this show, you make my life better. And I'm very thankful for the community and all you guys bring to the table. So thank you guys so much. Khan, going to take a couple days off. But as always, stay strong, faithful. Peace.